The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 7, text number 7. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on June 5th, 2015, in Clooney, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mata parataram nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya mayi sarvam idam proktam sutre mani gana iva. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. Purport. There is a common controversy over whether the Supreme Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, the Absolute Truth is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, and this is confirmed in every step. In this verse in particular, it is stressed that the Absolute Truth is a person. That the personality of Godhead is the Supreme Absolute Truth is also the affirmation of the Brahma Samhita, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha. That is, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, is Lord Krishna, who is the primeval Lord, the reservoir of all pleasure, Govinda, and the eternal form of complete bliss and knowledge. These authorities leave no doubt that the Absolute Truth is the Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. The impersonalist, however, argues on the strength of the Vedic version given in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.10. Tato yad uttarataram tad arupam anamayam ya etad vidur amritaste bhavanti ate tare dukam evapiyanti. In the material world, Brahma, the primeval living entity within the universe, is understood to be the supreme amongst the demigods, human beings, and lower animals. But beyond Brahma, there is the transcendence who has no material form and is free from all material contaminations. Anyone who can know him also becomes transcendental, but those who do not know him suffer the miseries of the material world. The impersonalist puts more stress on the word arupam, but this arupam is not impersonal. It indicates the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, as described in the Brahma Samhita quoted above. Other verses in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3, 8, and 9 substantiate this as follows. Vedaham mitang purusham mahantam ajityavarnam tamasa parastat tamevat viridvati mrcham meti nanyapanti vijate yanaya yasmad param narupam mastikinchid yasman naniyo na jayo stikinchid viksha iva stabdo divitushyate kas tenedam puram purushena sarvam. I know that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all material conceptions of darkness. Only he who knows him can transcend the bonds of birth and death. There is no way for liberation other than this knowledge of that Supreme Person. There is no truth superior to that Supreme Person because he is the supermost. He is smaller than the smallest, and he is greater than the greatest. He is situated as a silent tree, and he illumines the transcendental sky as a tree spreads its roots. He spreads his extensive energies. From these verses, one concludes that the Supreme Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all-pervading by his multi-energies, both material and spiritual. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vidamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschajnyajeshatarine. So, when it comes to the process of self-realization, when it comes to the process of actually knowing, understanding, comprehending, and living in the Absolute Truth, we have to approach the authority of Vedic wisdom. We see it's a fashion nowadays for people to invent their own process of self-realization, to become self-proclaimed gurus and present their own bogus philosophies. But that is not standard. That is not authorized. If one is to actually know the Absolute Truth, then one has to present the Vedas as they are. The Vedic wisdom has to be presented purely as it is. And it's been in this controversy of whether God is a person or is impersonal, it's very clear in the Svetashvatara Upanishad. These verses that Srila Prabhupada quotes in his purports are actually conjoint verses. There's texts 8 and 9 in this, which describe the Supreme Lord as a person. If you know a little Sanskrit, you know Purusham means person. So in text 8 it says Purusham. The word person is directly used in text number 8. In text number 9, Purushena means with personality. The ana ending means with. You see, means with personality. So text 8 and 9 both use the word Purusha, person, directly. So in text 10, then it says Arupam. That means a person who has no material form. You see, it doesn't mean he has no form. In other words, you have to take them in context. The impersonalist will take text 10 out of context of text 8 and 9 and say, oh, Arupa means no form. But if you take text 10, which says Arupa, in the context of text 8, which says Purusha, and text 9, which says Purusha, then it's very clear, as Prabhupada explains, this means a person with no material form. So, from this we can understand that God has no material form. Does that mean he's formless? In the material sense, yes, but not absolutely. Because he has a spiritual form. He doesn't have a form like you and me that gets old, that gets sick and dies. He says, everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. Wow, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? That means Mauritius exists because Krishna is holding it in its position. You see, you exist. This island, if it weren't for Krishna, this island would sink into the ocean immediately. You all drown immediately, you see. But Krishna is holding it up, you see. This whole planet Earth, it would just fall down in the Garbhodak Ocean. and we'd all drown in the Garbhodak ocean, you see. But Krishna is, everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. And it's also stated in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text 30, Saevayam Mayateja Yoga Prokta Pradatana Bhakto. No, that's a different one. Let's see, he says, how does that 6:30 goes? One who sees me in everything. In everything in me.
Yomam
pashyati sarvatra sarvangchamayi pashyati tashahane pranashyati satshamena pranashyati. Krishna says, from one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So everything actually exists within Krishna. He's within everything and everything is within him. So he doesn't have a form like you or me. His form actually includes everything, but at the same time, he can be in one place doing something like lifting Govardhan Hill or playing the flute for the gopi girls or herding the cows. He can be in one place doing something. At the same time, he can be everywhere holding everything up, you see. So that's why it says he has another material form. Material form is limited. But his spiritual form is unlimited. He can be in one place. Actually, in Dwarka, in the daytime, he would go to the... He was like a prince there, or a king. He would go to the place of administering his duties during the day. He would sit on the throne and do his duties as the chief person there. And then in the evening, he had 16,000 queens, so he would divide himself into 16,108 forms and go to the palace of each queen to spend the evening and the night with that queen, you see. So he could be in one place doing one thing if he chooses, or he could be in 16,108 places doing 16,108 different things. And Sri Narada Muni actually went from palace to palace, and he was amazed. In this palace, Krishna has his bouncing, he has his playing with his kid on his knee. In this palace, he's talking with his wife. In this palace, he's doing this. He was going to all the palaces and seeing Krishna was in every palace doing different things in each palace. You see, that is God. So that's why it said he doesn't have a material form. A material form is limited. With your material form, you can only be in one place doing one thing. You see, that's it. You're stuck. But Krishna can be in an unlimited number of places doing an unlimited number of things because his form is spiritual. So to understand and fully realize these things, you require a bona fide spiritual master. One who actually gives you his shelter, he takes your karma. When you surrender to him, he takes away your karma, relieves you of the sinful activities that you've committed in millions of lifetimes. He gives you instructions on how to absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, whether you're a brahmachari living in a temple, whether you're a householder raising a family, working a job, running a business, going to school, whatever you may be doing, the expert spiritual master who carries Krishna within his heart will teach you how you can also carry Krishna within your heart wherever you go 24 hours a day. So some people try to figure it out on their own and become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead without a guru. It doesn't work. Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as soon as you find a spiritual master, you should immediately get initiated. Because you require a spiritual master to actually get you out of this material world. You should immediately get initiated, Prabhupada explains. It's very important not to remain a dog without a master. Now, somebody got really disturbed when I compared the disciple and the non-disciple to dogs. They thought that was very offensive. This is an example I got from Prabhupada, actually. He says that a person who doesn't have a guru is like a dog without a master. And one who does have a guru, he's like a dog with a master. So one man got very offended. How, Swamiji, how you can compare us to dogs? He was very disturbed. But it's not my comparison, it's there in the scripture. Shva vidvara ushtras karai, sangstutak purishak pashu. It's stated right there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. that those persons who don't care about Krishna, they're like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. You see, a spiritual master doesn't concoct any philosophy of his own. He just repeats what's in the scriptures. So if you don't like what the guru is saying, you can't sue him in the court. You see, he's just a messenger. You see, he's just a messenger. If you don't like what I'm saying and you want to sue me, well, you have to sue Krishna. You see, sue the Bhagavad Gita. Take the Bhagavad Gita to the guru. You see, take the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam says those who don't want to hear about Krishna, they're simply in the category of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Now, if you're offended and you want to sue us for libel, well, you have to sue the Srimad Bhagavatam. All we're doing is repeating, just like the newspaper. You see, the judge will rule this person is guilty of murder, okay? The court of law will determine this person is guilty of murder. So the reporter, he puts on the newspaper, murderer condemned to be hanged, you see? Now, can the person sue the reporter? You've called me, you've given me a bad name, you've called me a murderer. You can't sue the reporter. The reporter is just reporting what the judge has said. So the guru, he's not the judge. He's just a reporter. That's all. You can't blame the guru. You can't blame the reporter. It's the judge who has decided he's guilty of murder. So the supreme judge is Krishna. And the judge says, if you don't want to hear about me, you're a dog. You're a hog. You're a camel or an ass. That's all. Yeah, that's your category. Shvabhyadvara ushtra karai. And then these animals can be understood very clearly. What are the characteristics of the different types of animals? Prabhupada gives several lectures describing in detail the dog-like mentality of those persons, the hog-like mentality, the camel-like mentality, and the ass-like mentality of people who are not interested in Krishna. So please do not remain in the category of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, you see. What's the quality of an ass? He works very hard all day long for the washerman, you see. You've seen in India how they load those little donkeys with bricks. I've seen little tiny donkey, huge burden of bricks, and he's like making him run along. He's going, running along, carrying these bricks back and forth, you see, construction site, all day long. So in the same way, the laundryman in the village, you see, he'll load the donkey up with all huge laundry, and he has to go down to the river, and they wash it, and he comes back. A little, huge, huge burden of laundry the donkey's carrying. And the donkey is thinking, well, you know, if I don't carry this burden, then I will starve. But between the river and the village, there's grass growing everywhere. He doesn't realize the grass is growing everywhere, you see. He's working like an ass, working like a little donkey. It's because he's afraid to go hungry, you see. So in this way, we work for some master in the material world, some boss, you know, some company or some government agency. We work like asses and fray, well, if they don't feed me, I will die. If I don't have this job, I will die, you see. They work like asses and not realize, well, the food is growing everywhere anyway, by given by God, you see. So in this way, we neglect our duty, our real duty in life, which is to awaken love of God within the heart. And we just, all we think about is money, 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 money. That's our mantra. Money, 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 money is the honey. You see, that's what we think about. This is material society. It's money, 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 money. So that's an ass-like mentality. You got to work like an ass to get a little bit of money, you know, for a little bit of sense gratification. Then there's the camel, you see. What is the camel's characteristic? Well, the camel, you may know, he chews on thorns. He finds the thorns very tasty. But what is the real taste he's getting from the thorn? It cuts his tongue with the thorns, and he's drinking his own blood, foolish camel, thinking, boy, this really tastes great. I love these thorns. So delicious, you know. So actually, that's compared to sex life, you see. On this, of course, devotees, we can have sex to producing Krishna-conscious children. That's spiritual. But if you're just having sex for the sake of sex, you're depleting your energy. You're depleting your bodily energy and thinking, oh, this feels so good. That means your camel mentality, you see. And then the dog, he works hard in the university, you see, he gets his degree. And then he finally gets his degree, and then he goes to the employers with his diploma. I am a certified bachelor of arts. And he goes from door to door, and they say, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you. He goes begging, please accept me as your dog. You see, you be my master, I'll be the dog. And he goes begging for a master, and everybody says, no, 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 no. And he has his diploma in his mouth and his tail between his legs, you see. It's like a dog. That's the example of a dog given by Prabhupada. And then there's the hog, yes. He has no discrimination. The hog will eat anything, he'll have sex with anyone. He'll have sex with his mother, his sister, his daughter, he doesn't care. He's just completely crazy over sense gratification. Actually, one time Indradev himself, who was the king of heaven, he offended a great sage and he was cursed to become a hog on the earth for him. So he's enjoying life of the hog. He's having sex with his mother, his sister, his daughter. Just having a great time, eating stool, having a wonderful time. And then the demigod comes to get him and says, Indra, what are you doing as a hog? Don't you realize you're the king of heaven? What are you doing living here in this hog sty? He's saying, but I have all these female hogs I'm enjoying like anything. But then they saw the farmers were ready to slaughter him. And then he came to his senses and got out of the hog life and went back to be king of heaven again. You see? So the Srimad Bhagavatam compares us, if we are not Krishna conscious, to dogs, hogs, camels, and ashes. Shva vidra ushtra karai. We are compared to these types of animals. So please do not get offended. It's the scripture. It's not me. I'm just a messenger. I'm just the reporter. I'm not the judge. I cannot judge. Actually, even in the Bible it says, judgment is mine, saith the Lord. So I don't judge. I'm just a servant of Krishna, and I'm your servant also. Please accept me as your servant. I've come here to help you to become happy, that's all. I haven't come here to get on your case. I haven't come here to make you feel bad. I've come here to liberate you from all of your material attachments and bring you to the platform of pure love of God. That's the only reason I've come here. I've simply come here to deliver you from all your anxieties and bring you to the state of pure transcendental bliss. You see? So if we say dog, hog, camels, and ass, please take it in the right spirit. It's Krishna who says that, not me. I'm just pointing out to you the scriptural truths to help you get free from your material attachments. You see, these material attachments, we think they're giving us great happiness, but actually all they're giving us is old age, disease, and death. It's all they're giving us. So we hope you'll not be offended and you'll take these instructions as our well-wishing benedictions to try to help you to become fully liberated from all the anxieties of life. Now, if there's any questions, you can pass them forward now. I don't see any questions yet. Okay, here's a few coming. A whole bunch coming, okay. Hand me one of them. Give me one to get started today. Why Krishna hiding himself as the Supreme Lord and not manifest to the impersonalist? Because the impersonalist doesn't want to see the personality of Godhead. Krishna is not hiding himself from anyone. Krishna is fully willing to reveal himself to everyone. And he says, inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reveal myself accordingly. So, because they don't want to see Krishna, that's why. How can we become more sincere and determined in Krishna consciousness? By taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and accepting his order as your life and soul. What is mukti according to Vaishnava philosophy? To go back to Godhead and be an eternal associate of Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. The other type of mukti, of impersonal mukti, is not real mukti. It's so-called mukti only, because you only have a temporary cessation of the cycle of birth and death and you come back down again into karma chakra. So the mukti of the impersonalist is called vimukti maninas. It's mental, it's of the mind only, it's not actual liberation. The only real liberation is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Why do we call Krishna consciousness as a science? Because it's not a fanatical blind faith dogma. It is actually a science of knowing things as they are and being able to directly experience reality as it is. Therefore, it's a science. Although we are doing bhakti with full devotion, if at any time in life a bad situation occurs, then what to do? Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And you'll fly right over the bad situation. The mantra will take you right over it. Okay. The word tabernacle means a light and movable habitat. The word tabernacle has various meanings, by the way. It's not just one meaning. Prabhupada uses the word tabernacle to describe the material senses, but my material desires can be compared to skyscrapers. How do I go about overcoming? Well, you can... you have to engage your senses in the service of Krishna, and then the skyscrapers will become even more wonderful, even more powerful. We don't deny the material senses, we purify them by engaging in Krishna's service. In the spiritual world, does the living being have a body made of flesh and blood? No, it's made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Does the living being in the spiritual world grow from boyhood to youth? No, there's no old age there. Everyone's an eternal youth. I am a doctor and bound by duty to perform abortion necessary. Well, you should get your own private practice then. Don't work for somebody that's require you to do abortions. Start your own private practice. A cruelty-free practice. It doesn't kill babies. If you perform abortions, you're going to be aborted in your next life. And for every abortion you do, you'll be aborted again. And let's say you abort 20 kids in your career as a doctor. That means for 20 lifetimes, you'll be aborted before you'll be able to see the light of day again. So I recommend, of course, if you surrender to Krishna now and give up committing abortions, start your own practice where you don't have to do abortions, then you can, and you surrender to Krishna, you get initiated, you can be relieved of the offense of the karma of all those abortions. Yesterday you stated that the doctor who performs abortions will be aborted. Yes. Can you please give counseling how to go about it? What? How to give up? How to go about what? Giving up abortions? Yeah. You can advise your supervisor that I, for religious reasons, I'm not able to do this. And that's it. Just tell them I'm willing to do anything, but I can't do that. I can't do it for religious reasons. I'm not allowed to do it according to my religion. And see what happens. Krishna bhakti, is it determined by a person's past karma? No. Strong faith, intelligence, or devotees, it's devotees' mercy. It's by mercy that you get a chance to engage in devotional service. This is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhaktivedanta Beach. One living entity, after wandering throughout the Brahmanda, the universe, and millions of species of life, who is very, very fortunate, comes in contact with the bona fide spiritual master and receives the seed of Krishna bhakti within his heart. You want to add anything?
I was just thinking, even if somebody comes in contact with a pure devotee, if they do not take it, then there is no benefit.
Yeah. You have to take advantage of it. Because many people met Prabhupada, but they didn't surrender, you see. Even meeting Prabhupada, you see, they didn't surrender.
So one has to understand the value of human life.
Yeah, that's right. You don't look a gift horse in the mouth. If a person is in a mode of passion or ignorance, will he be able to accept and maintain the regulative principles and perform his prescribed duties? The thing is, by engaging in devotional service, you immediately begin to come out of the influence of the mode. That's all. By chanting, by bowing down, by taking prasad, by taking darshan, all the hearing the scriptures, hearing from the guru, all these activities liberate you immediately from the influence of the mode. So devotional service will take you out of the modes. Anytime you want to add something, just...
It takes you out of the modes, but then when you go back and you start doing the same thing, it's like a hasti snan.
Like, what's it called?
Hasti snan means elephant
bath. A hasti snan, elephant bath. Yeah, so
we have to stop.
Yeah, don't be like an elephant who takes his bath and then rolls in the dirt to dry off, you see. So when you actually, that's why we have our rules and regulations. You should chant Hare Krishna and also avoid the four kinds of dirt, which are illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. The chanting of Hare Krishna will purify you of all sins. But now you have to stop sinning also. You can't go on sinning and continue and chant and expect to become liberated. You have to stop illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling and do your chanting, and then you'll become liberated. My God, that's too many questions. Wow, about 50 questions. Quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 30. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Please clarify this text. What's unclear about it? It's clear, it's self-evident on its own. If you engage in devotional service, even if you have a fall down, would you pick yourself up again? You're considered a saint. Look at Jagai and Madai. They were the worst dacoits. They were the mafia of Navadvip, engaged in raping women, murdering people, robbing people. But they became considered great saints because they surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. Why is it that we feel scared to accept the guru and get initiated? Because you don't have proper understanding of the facts. You need to hear.
We want to remain independent and we want to dominate over the material nature.
Yeah, we still want to lord over the material nature. If you're afraid to accept the guru, that means you don't understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness very much, very well. You have to understand the reality. You're still an illusion. You're thinking that you can still be the lord of all your survey and be happy. You have to realize you're in a big jam right now, in a pickle. You're in a big mess. You need, the only way out of it is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, get initiated, surrender to him. Otherwise, you're in a very problematic situation. You're going to take birth after birth after birth here until you can actually realize, I need to follow Krishna's order to take a guru. Krishna orders you to take a spiritual master. And that's stated in chapter 4. Tadvidi pranipatena paripashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tadvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by accepting a spiritual master. Surrender yourself fully unto him. He can reveal everything to you because he has seen the truth. So you have to take a guru. That's Krishna's order. And if you don't accept Krishna's order, you remain in the cycle of birth and death.
Surrender to Krishna.
That's right.
So where is the question of becoming a devotee?
Yeah. Devotee means following the instructions of Krishna. We have two ears and one mouth. This implies that we must be eager to hear more than speak. Why are devotees so inclined to give classes instead of hearing? One who has heard nicely, it's his duty to speak to the whole world. The neophyte, he has to hear. But once you become an advanced devotee, it's your duty to give classes like anything all over the world to fill the ears of the people with Krishna Katha. It's your duty to preach. The neophytes, their duty is to hear. The advanced devotees, their duty is to speak as much as possible. Can you please elaborate on soul's place in our body? It's situated as a tiny particle, 1/10,000th the tip of a hair, within the heart of the body. We learn that it dwells in our heart, but what happens if the heart is transplanted? The if there's a successful heart transplant, the soul changes seats. How a person who works at night shift can do his sadhana bhakti in the morning? I'll give you an example. I was a brahmachari for 14 years, and then my GBC actually suggested I might marry one devotee, his name was Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. And I understood the qualities and characteristics of this girl. I said, this would be a very good preaching partner for me, a very advanced Vaishnava. So I went ahead and took his suggestion that I could marry her. He actually performed the wedding ceremony, our GBC. And so now, after 14 years of brahmachari life, now I have to get a job. And, you know what householders do, you got to have a job, pay your rent and all that kind of stuff, right? So I went to take some training at a computer school, Control Data Institute. And the first job I got was at Chilton, the credit bureau. They do all the credit information, like credit histories. So when you apply for a loan, the bank would check with Chilton Corporation to see what was your credit history. So we were doing all this, computer, this data, heavy-duty data with millions of people's credit histories. So anyway, my job was from 11 at night till 8 in the morning. That was my shift. Now, I've been going to Brahma Mangal Arati without fail for 14 years. My God. Oh, Krishna. 14 years of Mangal Arati, now I have to work from 11 at night till 8 in the morning. Oh, Krishna. But Krishna was very kind. When I reported to work, my boss said, he said, nobody likes to work this night shift. You can take we don't mind if you take an hour and a half for lunch. It's okay. So there was my Mangal Arati. At 4 o'clock, I would leave the place, leave the company, and go drive to pick up Mataji at the apartment, go to the temple, attend Mangal Arati, and go back to work after my Mangal Arati lunch break. So the thing is, if you're really determined, Krishna will make an arrangement. You see, according to your desire, your intensity, Krishna will facilitate you. So how eager you are to have a morning program, you see. You're being tested sometimes when you get certain types of jobs. Because Krishna can immediately change your hours. He's in control of everything. You see, my desire was intense. He inspired my boss to give me a concession. Without my even asking, gave me a concession where I could go to Mangal Arati every day without fail. And I would catch the end of Bhagavatam class. Bhagavatam's 8 till 9. I would leave there, I'd catch the last half of Bhagavatam class too, you see.
I have a suggestion also. Just open Janmashtami, many devotees will do their morning sadhana and then go to take rest. Whole night they are up.
Yeah.
Doing service for Krishna, cleaning, whatever they do.
Yeah.
And then they will chant their 16 rounds, attend the Mangal Arati, and then they will take rest.
Yeah.
That's another way.
Yeah. Of course, my rounds I have to do later on the day. I would go to sleep and I would get up and chant my rounds in the middle of the day. But, But I had a nice morning program, Mangal Arati and Bhagavatam, every day. Okay, the war of Mahabharata in the Kurukshetra, Sri Krishna spoke the introduction of Bhagavad Gita knowledge to Arjuna. Same time did Rashtra, the same knowledge through Sanjaya. So why did Dhritarashtra not stop the war after having received the knowledge? Dhritarashtra didn't fully grasp it. Poor fellow. He was too attached to Duryodhana. He didn't fully grasp it. Actually, later on, he was preached to. Vidura got really heavy with him after the whole thing was over. Dhritarashtra came to his senses, and he and his wife went to the forest and became renunciates. But he only got impersonal Brahman liberation. Duryodhana got personal liberation because he was killed on the battlefield in the presence of Krishna. In the first human civilization, according to scientific research, consumed animals. How far is this true? It's completely bogus. These are cow killer animal eaters who are giving you this kind of bogus so-called scientific knowledge. The first civilization was purely vegetarian. The first civilization was Lord Brahma. He's the first being and the first being within the universe, Lord Brahma, and he's a pure vegetarian. So don't believe these rascal meat-eating scientists who give you this bogus propaganda to justify cow-killing and meat-eating. They're simply rascals with a capital R. A friend in the Brahma Kumaris believe that God is a point of light. How is this statement true? Well, Krishna is also the light. Brahmano pratishtaham, he says, that light is coming from me. So that we agree in one sense, yes, that light is Krishna, but where is that light coming from? That they do not know, you see. That light, Krishna says, yes, that is me, Brahmano pratishtaham, I am that light. So yes, we agree. But where that light come from, these fools don't know where it comes from because they don't take Bhagavad Gita as it is. They take some bogus Mayavadis as their guru, you see. They don't know where the light comes from. It comes from the body of Krishna. The beautiful form of Krishna emanates this light.
So their knowledge is partial.
Their knowledge is bogus. Huh?
Partial,
yeah. Now let me ask you this. Now you compare a form, a person with a form or light. Now let's say it's time for your wedding. You see, you've been waiting, you've been a young kid, now you're going to get married. Wow. And your parents arrange the whole wedding, right? And it's a surprise. You go to the yajna, you sit down, you find out your spouse is light. but Mom and Dad, how you could do this to me? I'm married to a beam of light. I can't talk with it. I can't. How can I have kids? You can't have sex with a light. I mean, Mom and Dad, how you could do this to me? You're marrying me to a light? Yes, my dear son, we didn't want you ever be in the darkness. You see? So this is the Brahma Kumaris. They want you to accept light as the... It's ridiculous. These people, they've been misguided by bogus gurus. They don't know what in the world they're talking about. The origin of everything is a person. That's confirmed everywhere in the Vedic literatures. And if I had time, I can give you a logical argument, even laying aside all scripture. I can prove it just by logic, but I don't have time tonight. But I could spend 20 minutes proving you simply on the basis of pure logic that God is a person. Don't have time tonight. Okay, Manu Smriti is still considered as the law laid for humankind. Is it good? We understand these works according... I'll tell you right now, Prabhupada's books are the law books for the next 10,000 years for this planet. So understanding of Manusmriti is according to what Prabhupada has taught us. That's all. How many times do we need to visit Vrindavan to fall in love with Krishna? It is not mechanical. This is not mechanical. How many rounds do I have to chant to achieve pure love of God? I mean, this is not the right understanding. It's not the quantity, it's the quality that makes it. Anytime you want to add something, just... We want to organize a best devotee competition in the area. What can be done to assess the devotees? I'd advise you don't do that, because who are you to assess the spiritual advancement of somebody? You can't do that. This person is more spiritually advanced. I suggest you have a book distribution competition so you can redo the most books. That's a much better thing. The best devotee, that you can't do that. You're not qualified. Krishna can see such things. You see, you're not qualified. This is the best devotee. You're not qualified to do that. You may give somebody who's, you know, is going to fall down next week. You know what I mean? You have a book distribution competition and see who can do the most books. That's what Prabhupada encouraged. Transcendental competition for books. Kamsa knew that the eighth child of Vasudeva and Devaki would kill him. Why did he imprison them both inside the same prison cell? Well, he figured he was going to kill the kids when they were born, so he had nothing to worry about. He would kill the... He figured he could easily kill them off. Kill the eighth child was the original plan, but then he got bewildered that Narada Muni bewildered his mind. Actually, it could be any of them. It depends on how you count it. Narada Muni did a little word juggling with him. Oh, you could count this way. You go, the eighth one is this one, is that one, or that one. And he got real bewildered. He said, I better kill all of them. So he was confident he could kill all of them if they were born, so he didn't separate his beloved sister from her husband. He figured he could easily kill the kids when they were born. How to increase, anytime you want to add,
light.
Oh, the light. The light.
The light.
The light. You must not be a Brahma Kumari. How to increase our attachment to Lord Krishna by taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. How to develop taste for reading by reading as much as possible in the association of advanced devotees. Just like
by hearing also.
Like, for example, my wife does, she every evening she does her reading. But only Madhava and Abhay were going to hear the reading in the house. Nobody else was interested to sit down and hear Mataji's reading. I was hearing it also from what I was doing. When I put the Lord to rest, Manaji reads Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see. And it's very sweet. But everyone in the house, they don't care to sit down and hear. Only the boys, some young boys.
Someone may have some service.
Who? What?
Someone may have service.
You may have service, that's one thing. But if the thing is, and then later, earlier in the day, Manaji was reading upstairs, and there were so many ladies in the house, they could have come upstairs and sat and heard. Take every opportunity when senior devotees are reading than Prabhupada's books to hear, because the more you hear, the more you develop taste. And the taste for hearing about Krishna is what will save you at the time of death.
Hearing will encourage one to read, because if there is no reading, then we want to find it ourselves. Hearing will increase the taste for reading.
Yeah. The thing is, you say, well, how much should I read? You know what Prabhupada said? He says in his books, every one of my followers has to read all of my books. So have you read all of Prabhupada's books yet? Prabhupada's books? If you haven't, you're disobeying Srila Prabhupada. Every follower of Prabhupada has to read all of his books. So read. You have an assignment now. You have to read all of Prabhupada's books. I took a survey one time. I was in a temple with 300 brahmacharis. And I said, how many of you read all the books? You know how many hands went up? One. So there was only two people, of myself and him, who had read all the books. You see. So if you haven't read all of Prabhupada's books, you're in Maya. I'll tell you, you're in Maya. You need to get out of Maya reading all of Prabhupada's books. How to do it? One book at a time. One page at a time. One paragraph at a time. It's simple. You have all the books. You take a bookmark. And you just put the bookmark. Every time you get some spare time, you read, you remove your bookmark. It's simple. If you do it, drops of water wear away the stone. I guarantee you, every one of you can read all of Prabhupada's books. Don't watch TV. Don't waste your time with gossip. Every spare minute you have in your 24 hours, even at work, you have a little break, read for a few minutes. Your day will be wonderful at work. Take your break time at work to read for a few minutes. You're a student in between classes, you have 5 minutes, sit down and read Prabhupada's books for 5 minutes, you see. If you read Prabhupada's books, the whole world will change for you. You'll no longer be living in Mauritius, you'll be living in Goloka Vrindavan. If you'd like to move, relocate without really being located. If you'd like to relocate without relocating physically, you can spiritually relocate yourself to Goloka Vrindavan simply by always reading Prabhupada's books as much as possible. And if you say, well, I can't understand what you mean, would you please explain it? I can't explain it to you. You have to experience it by doing it. That's all. How to control the mind? By fixing it on Krishna. How to avoid bad association in work and school? Give them your good association. Transform them into devotees. Wear tilak to school. That's the first thing. Wear tilak to school. That will, and that will give you something to connect with Krishna. Why Krishna created this material world, which is full of miseries? Krishna didn't create it, you did. He facilitated your desire to enjoy separately. Don't blame Krishna for this material world. He simply gave you what you wanted. You wanted to enjoy, try to enjoy separately, said, all right. My mother, when I was a little kid, she said, Stevie, if you ever want to run away home, if you ever want to run away from home, just let me know and I'll pack your bags for you. I never did as a kid. But of course, I did later on when I was an adult to take up the self-realization path. But Krishna is giving you facilities, packing your bags for you. Say, okay, you want to run away from home? All right, here, I'll facilitate you. But that's your desire that created the material world, not Krishna's desire. What does it mean to depend completely on Krishna? It means everything you do is for Krishna. Every thought, every word, every deed, that is for Krishna.
We are already depending. We have to realize it.
We are dependent anyway. Who is independent of God? Show me you can live without air. God is giving the air. Show me you can live without air. Go for 5 minutes without air. Hold your breath. Any of you, hold your breath for 5 minutes and see if you can live. You are dependent on God at every minute. You simply have to acknowledge it, that's all. Stop being proud and puffed up and thinking you don't need God. You need God at every minute. Do you make your heart beat, or is God making your heart beat? Krishna is sitting in your heart as the Paramatma. He is energizing your heart to beat. You're not making your heart beat. That is the Paramatma. Krishna's expansion in your heart right now is making your heart beat. You have to stop this independent mentality and understand you're fully dependent on Krishna or God at every minute. Krishna says, abandon all religions and surrender unto Him. He'll free you from all past misdeeds. But we often see devotees suffering. Well, they're either not really fully devotees yet, or they're not really suffering. Someone who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness never suffers at all. He's completely beyond all the suffering in material existence. Even though he may appear to be suffering, he's actually in a state of pure transcendental bliss. Now, a neophyte devotee who hasn't fully situated himself in devotional service will be suffering to the extent that he is not yet fully surrendered to Krishna. But those who have fully surrendered to Krishna are completely, totally free from all of suffering for all of eternity.
Somebody may think that devotee is suffering just like Haridasa was beaten in 21 marketplace. Others seeing, observing, they thought that Haridasa is suffering. But actually the beating was taken by Krishna.
Chaitanya.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah. That's right. Can we practice Krishna kind of spiritual life without following the four regular principles? A little bit, but you're not going to advance very far. You can chant Hare Krishna, even if you're breaking. In the beginning, someone's addicted to illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, gambling. Just chant Hare Krishna. That's actually a scriptural injunction. Yena tena pakarena, but not Krishna, in the Vesha yet. Sarvavidya nishedashur, etayare vikin kadaha. Somehow or other, fix your mind on Krishna. Don't worry about the rules and regulations. That's stated by Rupa Goswami. He says, don't worry about them because they will automatically follow in due course. So in the beginning, yeah, just chant Hare Krishna. We don't care if you're a woman hunter, you're a meat eater, or a drunkard, or a cigarette smoker. Come here and chant with us. You're welcome. But by getting a taste for the holy name, those sinful activities will naturally go away. You see? Once you get a little taste for the holy name, you think, wow, this is so wonderful. How can I go deeper in the holy name? Well, if you give up your meat eating, you're going to get more pleasure from the name. Okay, I'll give up my chicken and fish. If I'll get more nectar from the name, throw the chicken out, throw out the fish, I don't need it anymore. Krishna is more delicious than the chicken and the fish. You see? Krishna in the Gita says, one who constantly thinks of him, he is a swift deliverer. How is it possible one who has family responsibilities, where his mind is to focus on so many other activities? You have to create your home as an ashram. You be the temple president of your ashram. Or the vice president, you know. In this way, turn your home into an ashram, and then all your activities will be for Krishna consciousness. Why are there so many religions? There are not so many religions. There's only one religion, and that is to become a pure devotee of God. Because man has these different material ideas, man has created so-called religions, but actually there's only one religion, and that's to become fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the meaning of idea grahastha life? Pure Krishna bhakti. No illicit sex. Sex is only for procreation. It's not for recreation. If you want to make your wife pregnant and raise a Krishna conscious child, you can have sex life once in a month after the lady's menstrual cycle, and both of you have chanted 50 rounds of japa. That's Prabhupada's instructions. That's then you're a grihastha. Well, you're a grihamedi. You're not a grihastha. If you're having sex life beyond that regulated principle, then you're not a grihastha. You're a grihamedi, materialistic householder. How can we progress in spiritual life? Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and always please him with your thoughts, words, and deeds in all times, places, and circumstances, 24 hours a day. Does the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra create good karma? It abolishes, it actually abolishes all karma, good and bad. Good karma is also bad because it obliges you to come back and be rewarded. Let's say you open a hospital, for a charity hospital, that's good karma. You gave them free medical care. Now what is your karma? You get to come back and receive free medical care. Wow, isn't that great? I get free medical care for many lifetimes. For all the people I gave free medical care to. So by chanting Hare Krishna, you get free of all karma, good and bad. So actually good karma is also bad. What you want is akarma or no karma. And that you get by devotional service. It frees you from all karma so you can get out of this material world and go back to Krishna. I think the dog is competing with me. He's thinking his lecture is better than mine. Shva vedvara ushtra karai. It is said that Krishna is impartial to every living entity, yet he is partial to his devotees. Everybody has an equal opportunity to be a devotee, therefore Krishna is impartial. Is material acquisition an obstacle in devotional life, or it can be used in the service of Krishna? If you're a businessman, you should become the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. And then you can use that money to spread Krishna consciousness. If one accepts shelter of a spiritual master and then cannot follow his instructions, what will happen then? You will put your spiritual master and yourself in great difficulty. Do not do this. If you're having trouble, then you have to approach your spiritual master and beg for his mercy to help you get back in line. Otherwise, your guru will have to take birth again to save you when you take birth again. Don't put him in that difficulty or yourself in that difficulty. Every action has its reaction. Is it possible to change karma by worshipping Krishna? Becoming Krishna conscious abolishes all of your karmic reactions. What are the prescribed duties of a wife towards her husband or family? You should serve your husband nicely and raise your children in Krishna consciousness. Can you shed some light on how life goes on in other universes? It's very similar to the way we have it here. It's called birth, death, old age, and disease. Everywhere. In the material world. Can the demigods award you the blessings of pure devotional service? No. Spiritual master can do that. The demigods are still tins of material desires. They're not able to bless you with pure devotional service. Why did Prabhupada accept George Harrison when he wanted to, why did he not accept George Harrison when he got initiated? Because George couldn't give up cigarettes. And actually he died of throat cancer. George is, I don't want to criticize him, I admire him greatly. He's one of the greatest propagators of Krishna consciousness. As a famous Beatle, he used to do his concerts and then he would have a kirtan at the concert and engage all the thousands of people in kirtan. He had great service. He came near later in his life. He came, he spent some time in Vrindavan. He stayed there right near our temple with some devotees. And but it was hard for him because he couldn't smoke a cigarette in Vrindavan. And as soon as they got in the car to Delhi, he turned to all the devotees and said, "Any of you blokes got a smoke?" He was really, you know, he's addicted to cigarettes. And that's one reason he couldn't get initiated, because he was addicted to cigarettes. He actually died of throat cancer. But George is very dear to us. I can't say how much Prabhupada, he was dear to Prabhupada. But just being dear to the spiritual master doesn't qualify for your initiation if you can't follow the regulated principles. If we did not exist, there would be no need to depend on God. Okay, that's right. I agree. But you do exist. Sorry. Whether you like it or not, you exist. And you had to come to terms with your existence. You may try to deny it. The Mayavadis tried to deny their existence. Actually, previously, I was also a Mayavadi. I used to be a songwriter. I had a song. It went, "Hey, I'm so unreal, I don't exist at all." That was my song. And the hippies loved it. But it was a bogus philosophy. But that's what the voidists, the impersonalists think. I don't exist. I want to deny my existence. But it doesn't work. Who's denying whose existence? You see what I'm saying? You are denying your existence. By the act of denial, you're actually affirming your existence. You understand? I don't exist. Right? Well, you just affirm your existence by saying I. You see what I'm saying? You can't negate your existence, because the very act of trying to negate your existence affirms your existence. You understand? So this idea of negating your existence is a bogus Mayavadi philosophy. Completely bogus. All right, this is the last question. No more. Any other? Okay. When we associate with devotees, listen to class, we feel so inspired. And then the next day we go down again. Why does the enthusiasm go down again? Because you didn't hear a class the next day. You need to hear class every day. That's the Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevayam. If you can't have classes here, then you have class in your home. One day the wife gives a class, the next day the husband gives a class, you see, and then let the kids give a class too. Let everyone give a class. You should have classes. If you can't come for a class at the temple, you have a class at home every day. You're meant to every day to have a Bhagavatam class at home. You're doing that? Every day. That's the injunction. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Every day you must study Bhagavatam. So if it's completely impractical, then all right, then get then hear a Bhagavatam lecture while you're driving to work. You know? You need to hear Bhagavatam every day. Everybody needs to hear Bhagavatam every day. And then you won't go down anymore. You'll go up, 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 up. Bhagavatam will take you out of this material world. Take you right out of the material world. Just try it. I've been studying Bhagavatam every day for 44 years. And believe me, it just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Madaram, madaram. You see, sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Why? Because Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. It's Krishna himself. When you study Bhagavatam, you are directly associating with Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the source of all existence. Bhagavatam in the morning and Gita in the evening. Yeah. Do Bhagavatam in the morning and Gita in the evening, and then for a treat every now and then, Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's like the Gulab Jamun at the end of the meal, you know. That Gulab Jamun. Yeah. Especially these three books for studying are very good. And then read all the other books in between, you know. Read all the books. But those three are especially important. Gita, Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Especially you should read all those. Make sure you're regularly studying those books. Okay, anything else? Anything else from y'all, Marish and devotees?
It's a long way.
Huh?
It's a long way to go.
Long way to go? Yeah, we have a long drive back to our ashram. We want to get up. We have to get up real early because we're heading out to South Africa tomorrow. Next year we're going to have Friday night, a disciple meeting on Friday night. Okay. If we want to come here, we won't come on Friday night. It'll be another night. And we'll do a disciple meeting at in South Arena on Friday night, so we can take rest early also. Plus, you all the disciples need to have some special training. Y'all they're not totally together yet how to do your duties. We have to train, give you special training how to do your duties, huh?
Disciples and aspiring, both.
Yeah, aspiring disciples can also come, that's right. So anyway, we're just delighted to see how you're practicing Krishna consciousness here in Mauritius. Now try to become more intense in your desire to distribute Prabhupada's books to every home, to every person. That should be now a priority here in Mauritius. In India, book distribution is going on like crazy, and you should now be prioritize book distribution here and make your best devotee award for the best distributor of Prabhupada's books. You give him a free ticket to India or something like that, you know, reward. A free ticket to the Vrindavan Dham or something like that. Whoever distributes the most books. Make that your contest. That's how you should... Competition should be on book distribution. That was Prabhupada's system. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.